This is Commercial Oral Histories of Central Sydney. I'm talking to Mr. Cyril...
Vincenz. V-I-N-C-N-C.
And your first name, Cyril,
C-Y-R-I-L.
Right. And what year were you born?
I was born in 1931.
Whereabouts?
In Czechoslovakia.
Whereabouts in Czechoslovakia?
A very small town called Sarovičky, which is, I don't think it's on the map as yet.
And you went to school there?
I went to school there, the primary, and then for a high school, I went to the next bigger town, which is called Hustopeče.
Right. And when did you leave Czechoslovakia?
I left Czechoslovakia as a young boy in 1948.
Right. And you were there all the war?
I was all the war. I was only a young boy then.
Right.
You know, when the war starts, I was eight years of age.
Yes, that's
or
right.
Or even seven and a half years of age.
Right, yes. And when did you come to Australia?
I came to Australia in 1949.
Right. With your parents?
No, on my own.
Ah. What did you do first?
Well, in Australia, or what was my first job?
Yes.
I was hired by a lady in Bathurst, Mrs. Sherman, which is a very famous or old name in Bathurst, and I was hired to buy for her husband beer. He was legally forbidden to be served alcohol because of his behavior under influence towards the family.
And you were old enough to buy him beer, were you?
Not really, but I was driven from one pub after 10 o'clock to another pub to buy two middies, not one. I had to drink one, and he had to drink one. So before lunch was over, I had so much beer in myself, I felt ill. Not drunk, but ill, because nothing to eat, only drinking beer. And, you know, he wanted to accompany.
So
and,
what?
And after, you know, he had enough beer, he dropped me into her fruit and vegetable shop, and I was sorting out rotten tomatoes. That was my first job.
How long did you last?
Not too long, because the things were not to my liking. I was there a month. And after a month, I seen that has not much future for me, so I decided to move on to Sydney.
And what year was that?
That was in 1950.
Right. What did you do first when you got to Sydney?
Nothing. I was a little bit green. I looked for a job, mainly in restaurants, to wash up dishes or to have a bit of food with it as well. But I was not accepted. I was a bit green and I was looking mainly in Chinese restaurants because there were plenty of them, or in Greek restaurants. And I didn't get anywhere. So I moved on to another job, which was advertised to Narrabri. At Narrabri, there was a farmer who was looking for young boys to clear the area of stump, which is a hard work to pull them out by hand or by, you know, physically, and burn grass under control. I thought, oh, that'd be okay, so we'll go and have a look at the country. I lasted only one day. It was impossible. Sleeping outside in a tent, and of course mosquito and sound of birds early in the morning was not exactly what I was looking for. So I started walking back. We were about 40 kilometers off, no, about 60 miles from Narrabri. And so I kept on walking. I asked, you know, I had a little bit of money, which I earned somewhere else. And I asked him if I can use the farmer, if I could use the telephone for a taxi so he could take me back to town. No, he was not very helpful. He said, no, get out. So I kept on walking, and I was lucky. I seen a car coming from way, you know, somewhere very far. So I stopped in the middle, and I asked, you know, I stopped the man, and I said, would you be so kind and take me to Narrabri? He said, hop on the top of the truck, you know. I'm taking my daughter to the station because she's going back to the school. So that was perfect. From then on, I went to Newcastle. In Newcastle, there was plenty of jobs there. BHP was number one. So I went to BHP and I got a job, which I lasted 1 month. It was the hardest thing I ever worked in my life. In coke oven, where whatever, I was near a conveyor belt, and whatever coal fell off from the conveyor, I was there and shoveling it back onto the conveyor. And of course, at night, after the shift, we had a shower in the factory or in BHP, but I was spitting and sneezing black coal dust. And I thought, this can't be good for me. So after 1 month, every day working, I collected a little bit of money and moved on to Sydney. And in Sydney, it's a big town, and I already got a little bit of, you know, experience or good experience, and I started to look where can I get a job. So something told me that hospital would be the number one thing where to go. In the kitchen, clean food, you know, no dust. I got a job in the kitchen in King George the Fifth Hospital in Camperdown. And I stayed there for 4 years. And after 1 year of washing up, they were looking for a chef or cook. Cooks were very hard to get them. The cooks which they were there, they were all ex-army cooks. And it was pretty rough. And after, they were looking for, and I was observing what they're cooking. They looked for a breakfast cook. So I went to the manager or to the, of the, you know, the department there, and I said, Mr. Brown, a very nice gentleman, I think I can do this cooking for you here. Give me a chat. He said, okay. Next day, prepared me a uniform, and I was a cook over there, and I was cooking wonderfully. And we cooked with another gentleman, which was an experienced cook from a ship, but his name was John Farrugia, and he couldn't read, and he couldn't write. Of course, I could read, and I could write, because on the wall, there is every day a menu. What goes where, who is getting what. He couldn't read it. So I was reading and cooking, and he showed me a few drinks, and I become a very, I would say, a reasonable cook for that particular era. And I stayed 4 years. And after 4 years, I thought it's enough. And I wanted to be independent, because I learned this trade in Czechoslovakia. For 2 years, I was an apprentice. You have to be apprentice to be able to work in a store like this. And so I had some knowledge about it. In the meantime, I was working part-time, not very far from here, and working for next to nothing, just to gain experience in Australia, what to buy, who is buying, and so. And I had I was fortunate enough to be able to communicate with all the newcomers which came here, which couldn't speak English, including me. So I was speaking to them in Czech, or in Polish, or in Yugoslav, and some German. And I was immediately a popular person. I served well, people reasonably liked me, and I was in this area already.
That's Haymarket.
Haymarket. To get the premises, you had to have big money or you had to be lucky, which was impossible to achieve an empty store or empty premises. So after 4 years being in the hospital and working part-time in this shop, I knew where to buy, how to buy, what is selling, where to get the merchandise. And I was looking around this area for premises. And one day I read in a paper that one particular lady in Hay Street won first prize in the lottery. So I found out who it was. So I went there. They were selling batteries and part interior decorator was next door. And I came and I congratulated the lady and I said, gee, you're lucky. I wish I could buy your store. She said, maybe you will be able to buy it. Come back tomorrow. I speak to my husband. fair enough. They sold me their space, you know, with the key money for £2,000, which I never had. I never had this money. But I knew there is a way to get into it. So I had a few friends, and I somehow collected this £2,000 and gave it to her, and I had this empty store, beautiful empty store. And that was the beginning of Cyril's Delicatessen. And we slowly, slowly, you know, set it up. And there was a store end of Hay Street, Pitt Street, a very small Czech man from Yugoslavia. And he was so popular with the newcomers in food that he had to lock, he let 10 people in, serve them, while there was a big gathering outside, about 50 people waiting to get their turn. And I said to myself, if he can make such a good business, I think I can help him. And of course, from the moment I opened the store, which I had no money for the goods, anything, I collected in the meantime empty cans. And the empty cans, I just decorate the shop. You know, different merchandise, which I already prepared in the hospital, because a lot of cans being opened there. And I was opening in the right way, so when I set it up, so it looks full. You know, it was an illusion. Then, when I open up, I got myself into debts again. The refrigeration was, you know, time payment and whatever, everything was time payment. And I slowly, slowly started to be successful from the first day we had business. Because I was already, you know, a little bit known in Rosen Place. So around High Street, people wanted to see something new. And I gave them a better service. This guy was not cutting anything. It was just take it or leave it, you know, a bit arrogant because he couldn't handle it like that. And I gave them a civilized service, and people liked that. And I was successful from the first day. And I'm here in this building 48 years.
So the year you started was?
In 1956.
Right.
And so, you know, to me it seems like yesterday. I even forgot the count, but I know one thing. It was very different time to start, not easy, especially when you are young and green, but with determination and fairness to the customers, I achieved a good name, and I think people still patronize me for that because being a fair trader.
You've always got some good specials too.
Today is the marketing a little bit different. If you don't compete with the big supermarkets, you're definitely not going to survive. You really have to see what attracts the buyers today. The buyers in '50s are not here anymore, or very few of them. And the new generation are different. They have money to go to a restaurant, spending big money to be served on. But when it comes to shopping, they are very careful, especially on food.
Mm.
Maybe not so much on clothing. But that's the story of today. But in the meantime, we still have a good business, and I still enjoy my work after so many years.
You're on the main road, so to speak, or main foot road from Central Station to Chinatown. Do you get many Asians customers?
We do, but I wish I could get more. But merchandise which we sell, half of it they don't eat. But they still come in, that they are inquisitive. They buy little souvenirs from my place because, again, the prices are right. They're very price conscious. Everything is how much, before they say whatever they want. They want to know how much. Not I like this. It has to be, price has to be right. So I do get a little bit. And I know the Chinese people, the old Chinese people are also not here, only very few, which I knew very well from the market times and so on. But the new Chinese, which are mainly from Vietnam, and some are from Indonesia, Chinese, and Indonesian, and I slowly, slowly getting some confidence with them, and they patronize me as well. But if I could speak Chinese, Or if I would have maybe different merchandise, I could be, I could succeed better. But definitely this area is Chinatown in, I would say, 80% of Chinese or Chinese customers in this area. So this is maybe my disadvantage at the moment.
And what about the changes over the years in the customers here? How have you coped with that?
I must say one thing, this whole era changed so dramatically since the market, produce market, moved to Flemington. And the meat market moved that way as well, to Homebush. And the flour market and the fish market. So it became a completely different area. And it's a little bit of a, not a battle, but it's a, you've got to adjust yourself to whatever is happening. And also, you have to follow the trend, what is in or what's out. Food or our merchandise is very fashionable. It goes one day, and after you think you are on something very good, in a matter of very short time it changes, and you have to change with it. So to survive in this area, which is not an easy area anymore, regarding parking, regarding everything else in the city, we still maintain a reasonable business, and I still enjoy it after so many years, and I think this is part of the success. People can see if you are here just to serve them and take their money, or if you enjoy it as well. And they feel good when they come to my place, because they're not only spending money, they get a little bit more for it than whatever we're asking in money times.
What about the changes in the building? I notice you've done a complete reorganization now.
I must say one thing. This building is a beautiful old building, but it was neglected by previous management. And I think the people who found the money and who decided to keep the building and put money into it, I think they've done a wonderful job. And it should have been done 25 years ago. It would have been cheaper and maybe better. But in the meantime, the building looks fantastic. I would say it's a contribution to this area to have a nice old building refurnished and restored to the original glory. And I'm very proud of the council that they've seen it and they've done something about it. Because there were some tenants here which were really making the building much worse than it originally was. And I think it's a plus to the city that something like that has been done.
Mm-hmm. Now, the building was built in, I think you said
1893.
Yes.
And for some reason, somebody told me at one stage that it was a barrister chambers. But then I just can't quite believe it, because barrister chambers, there was no courthouse around here. So maybe it was something else. But in the meantime, there was tenants like Undertakers Union, small printing shop, galvanizing place, which I think really shouldn't have never been on the first floor, with all the acid tanks and all the fumes, which not only ate nearly everything, including the bricks inside. They really, I mean, it was there for a number of years. They were galvanizing day and night. And I still can't believe it that the council let it and had such a tenant for a long, long time. So I think whatever, then there was a restaurant, then there was a bit of a illegal gaming joint. And, I mean, this is only recently, but now it's a Chinese gallery, and I think it's clean. It's healthy, and I would say, an asset for the owner as well.
Mm-hmm. And what hours do you work now? And did you what hours did you work before?
Well, listen, I always work very early in the morning, because first of all, there used to be much more activity early in the morning when the market times were. And somehow, I'm still in that same routine. Even today, I come here usually around 6 o'clock in the morning, nice and quiet, cool, and do our chores, do our receiving the goods, and also making orders for the next day or for the same day. But I'm an early starter, and we finish about 5:30, mm-hmm. which there is not much serious shopping at that time mm-hmm. anymore. Yeah. And, you know, I quite enjoy it still.
Yeah. What about the changes over the road there, the Capitol, from being a cinema to now being a theatre?
That has very little influence on me. Actually, that extension in Capitol Theatre, which was apparently necessary, took half of the street away. So we are back of the Capitol Theatre. Anybody who goes to theatre doesn't go and buy groceries. So it's clean. The cinema was not a very successful cinema because there were so many good, better cinemas which had bad time because of the television, because of the communication. Big cinemas closed, and out of one they made four small ones, so they could attract still the cinema goers. But I think with the refurnishing there, I was there not so long ago for a performance, and I've seen it well before. I think the job is done, maybe not first class, but it is definitely a colossal improvement to the building. Mm. The only thing what is wrong with it, I think, there are a lot of performances being taken away by smaller and newer theaters, like Star City, where there is free parking, where there is cheap eating, and a bit of gambling. And they are really just took the thing which should be, say, in Capitol Theatre performed. They've been taken away by the competition to Star City. But I think the place is so expensive to run for a company which is not quite sure if they can fill the place. And that's a bit of a problem there. But also parking is a problem. But on the other hand, it's close to the station, so you really can use public transport to get there.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about the advent of the trams here again? Has that made a difference to you?
That made the things even worse, because the trams are going, no access by car. They're practically on top of footpath, which I'm still surprised how on earth ever anybody allowed to go tram quarter meter from pedestrian, which I honestly think it's a dangerous thing. I'm really surprised that there was no calamity by now. Mm. But that's not, I'm not the planner, I'm not the man who decides, but that's my opinion.
You don't advertise, I understand.
I do a very little advertisement, only certain times of the year, like around Easter time or Christmas time, for people which are looking for something very specific. And otherwise, I'm very fortunate that the press looks always for something a little bit different, and they occasionally mention my store or my activities in the daily newspaper or in the column of food and so on. So that really helps. Mm. But main thing, you have to be competitive. You have to have something cheaper than somebody else, and you have to have the quality. And if you have quality, price, and service, which is very hard to get in town today, you are in a big store, in supermarket, you're nothing, or you're number one, number two, number three. Here, customer is a king, and they can feel that they're getting something a little bit more than in a normal supermarket or normal store. Mm. We make sure we welcome them and we'll give them a very fair go, and they come back.
And what have you thought how long you're going to be here? Are you going to be here forever? Or?
I think so, because I have no other plans for future, because I'll be 70 this year, but I still enjoy whatever I do, and that is my life.
You have no family to hand it on to?
No, I have two daughters, yeah, but they are successful in their own field. And at one stage they were trying to convert it in one of those modern deli cafe and all that. but I think they're making more money for themselves somewhere else than they would make in my store or in their store, if that would be the case. But unfortunately, that's how it is.
What about staff over the years?
Staff over the years, we had bigger staff. Now, at the moment, we have a smaller staff. We are better organized. Economy is a very important part in to survive in any business. So we're doing it the way we are doing it at the moment. My wife is helping me, and I do work for two, and wife for one, and another helper for one. So it is part of economy. Today's staff is a very expensive exercise.
Do you open on Saturday?
We open half a day on Saturday and close on Sunday.
Right.
Which is still, we should be open on Sunday, because Sunday is still a big shopping day in Australia. The shopping times and shopping days change. That's why Thursday night shopping is quite an important matter to the supermarket. But in this area, there is no shopping unless you have a Chinese supermarket. There is not really much shopping activities. Maybe it's my imagination, but I don't think I could. It would be worthwhile opening so late.
Right. Have you been involved in the politics of the city at all?
No.
Like that?
No, I'm not really a public person when it comes to this, because first of all, you have to really, if to do it well, you need a lot of time for it, and you have to attend meetings, and you have to do certain things, which I think family for me is more important.
All right. Is there anything else I should ask you that I haven't?
I think you covered it pretty well. I know one thing. I'm very grateful to live in Sydney, and I'm very grateful that Sydney was so generous and good to me and to my family. And whatever I've done, I would do it again, if I have to repeat it, exactly the same way. But I'm very fortunate, and I'm very lucky to be in Australia. And that's all I can say.
And we're very lucky to have you.
I hope so, but I'm saying only one thing, that anybody who knows otherwise, they should do their homework first before they say anything about anything.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.